on with good singing voice.
And we're going to start with number 16 in the book. Nice to see you all. Nice and sunny outside, but a bit cold. And so it's nice and cosy in here. And that makes a difference. Number 16. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Number 16.
We'll sing together.
I am so glad that the Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Jesus loves me, and I know I love him. Love brought him down, my lost soul to redeem. Yes, it was love made him die on the tree. Oh, I am certain that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. In this assurance I find sweetest rest. Trusting in Jesus I know I am blessed. Satan's dismay from my soul doth now flee. When I just tell him that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Now, let's go over a couple of pages to number 18. Number 18. And one of the things that we can tell, we've been singing about Jesus' love, and one of the things it tells us really about Jesus' love is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And this hymn writer says, Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free through all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Again, we'll sing the whole hymn together, number 18. Jesus, keep me near the cross, a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Hail the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Hail the cross, be my commend ourselves to God in prayer before we go any further. Our God and our Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee again for a little time spent together with the folks here in hospital, and we just pray a blessing upon each and every one. Thou knowest each condition, thou knowest each need, and we just bring them before thee for thy help and for thy care and for thy blessing. We realise, our God, that we're a God who is able to help in time of need, and we bless thee, our Father, that even in these days in which we live, that we're able to come into our circumstances of life and help us where we are. We thank thee too that the Lord Jesus came from heaven to help us in our spiritual needs, and we bless thee for the cross of Calvary that we've been singing about. And we pray, our Father, this afternoon, each one of us might enter into the good of what was done at Calvary for us to save us from our sin. So we seek a blessing upon us now this afternoon. Remember us all for good, for we ask it now in the Saviour's precious and holy name. Amen. Now if you go over to page 21, there's a little chorus there on page 21 that everybody probably that's been at Sunday school in the past will know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. That's the top of page 21.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Fraser's with us, he's going to speak to her just a minute or two, but we're going to sing number 28 first. Number 28, the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. For a world of lost sinners, lost slaves.
Well, I hope you all had a nice Christmas, and I hope you all had some exciting Christmas presents. Maybe you got socks, maybe you got a tin of biscuits, something very exciting like that. We've got Matthew here today, and Matthew is six, and amongst his Christmas presents, he got this. I wonder if you've seen anything like this before, and I wonder if anybody else got one of these for their Christmas. Any idea what that might be? What a strange contraption. It would be good for the egg and spoon races, I suppose. You can cheat. Well, it's a snowball thrower. Apparently you put snow into it, then you close the black lid to pack the snow up, take the lid off, and then you're able to throw a snowball. And maybe Matthew, in the next few days or weeks, will be able to use his new snowball thrower. I looked out of the window this morning and I saw some snow, and it reminded me of a verse in the Bible that says this, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." A lovely verse. But at the heart of that lovely verse, there's a reference to scarlet sins. Scarlet sins. And do we really need to explain what sins are? Sins are the bad things that we do. Sins are the bad things that we say. Sins are the bad things that we think. And we would have to agree, wouldn't we, that sometimes all of us do things that are really bad. And sometimes all of us say things that are really bad. And sometimes all of us think things that are really bad. And I'm sure you, like me, can look back over your life, a long life, and maybe you can think about occasions that you wish had just never taken place. And you think about things that you did and things that you said, and you should never have done them, and you can remember the shame and the trouble and the distress that they caused to others, and the shame and the trouble and the distress that they caused to you because of our sins. And so, you know, what do we think about our sins? And what do other people think about our sins? But, you know, the important question is, what does God think about our sins? God up in heaven, as he looks down upon this earth, how does God regard and how does God react to our sins? Imagine that you had a garden. Imagine that you had spent time and money in creating a beautiful garden with some lovely trees and some beautiful flowers. And imagine that you invited a group of visitors to spend some time in your garden, and you stood on and watched. How would you feel? How would you feel if you were standing and watching this group of people ruining your lovely garden, breaking branches off the trees, trampling on the flowers, overturning the benches, breaking the ornaments, fighting amongst one another? How would you feel? How would you feel? Would you feel upset? Would you feel grieved? Would you feel angry? I want to suggest that, you know, that lovely garden that you formed, that you created, that you invested time and money into, is really maybe just a little picture of this world. And think of all that God has done to create a beautiful world, and how God must respond, how God must react as he looks down from heaven at the mess that we've made of his world. God must be upset, and he is. God must be grieved, and he is. God must be angry, and he is. And so we're thinking about, though your sins be as scarlet, scarlet sins, and that's really our awful condition. All of us have done things, said things, thought things that we should never have done and said and thought. Scarlet sins, our awful condition. But listen to this. God speaks, and God says, come now and let us reason together. Come now and let us reason together. You know, despite what we are and despite what we've done, God draws near to us. Is that not wonderful? Is that not wonderful? Think again about that story about the garden. Think about the people who had ruined that garden, people who had wrecked that garden. What would I want from them? How would I react? I would want them banished. Get away, get far away. And I would want them punished. You'll pay for this. But when we come to the Bible, we learn, and when we come to that verse that I've quoted, we learn that the God against whom we had sinned, the God that we had upset and grieved, God takes the initiative. God commences the conversation, and God says, come now and let us reason together. We're learning things in the Bible, we're learning things in the verse about God. How do you understand God? What's your concept? What's your perception? What's your thinking about God? You know, don't you, that some people out there, they deny God's existence. But that's not true. God is there. And then other people, I suppose, try to distance God's existence. They regard God as far away, far off, far removed from us, not interested in us. But not only is God there, God is here. God comes so very close. And he comes so close with this amazing invitation, come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I knew a man many years ago, and his father, his own father, was a gardener, a market gardener. And so Mr. Gallagher had spent all his life growing lovely flowers, lovely plants. But his son, one of his sons, said that he liked it when it was winter. He liked it when it was snow because everybody's garden looked just the same. He had absolutely no interest in his father's occupation. He had absolutely no interest in gardening. And the point that he made was this: when the snow falls, all the gardens look exactly the same. A garden might be full of weeds. A garden might be muddy. A garden might be untidy. But when it's covered by snow, every garden is beautiful. Every garden is beautiful. Every garden is beautiful. And what God is speaking about here, and what God is offering here, and what God is promising here, is that an ugly life, our ugly lives, can become beautiful. A wretched life can be made wonderful. And so he's saying, though your sins be as scarlet, scarlet sins, they can be as white as snow. Now, I might have an untidy garden, and when the snow falls, it becomes beautiful. But by next week, the snow might have gone. By next week, the snow might have melted, and the garden might again be exposed as ugly. But what God is promising in this verse isn't something that can fade away, isn't something that can go away. He's speaking about an absolute transformation. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be forever, altogether, never to be reversed. And so our sins can be gone, our sins can be removed, our sins can be cancelled, our sins can be blotted out, our sins can be taken away forever, forever, forever. Spoke earlier about, you know, things that we've all done in our life, looking back over the years. And maybe, you know, we wish, if only we could turn the clock back. If only we could relive particular days in our lives. But of course we can't. And as far as we're concerned, you know, what is done is done. As far as we're concerned, what we said has been said. And it can't be revoked. It can't be reversed by us. But you know, the wonderful thing about the message of the Bible is this, that sins can be forgiven, completely taken away by God himself. You know, there's a lovely story in the New Testament about a day when a lady came to the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says that she was a sinner, and that would mean that she was a wicked woman, that would mean that she had really been the talk of the town, and yet she came to the Lord Jesus, and to her the Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are removed. Your sins are taken away. Your sins have been blotted out. And you might say to me, how can that possibly be the case? If I can't rewind the clock, if I can't reverse what has been done and what has been said, how could the Lord Jesus say to anyone, your sins are forgiven? And the explanation is this, and we've been singing about it, that the man, the Lord Jesus, who spoke those words, your sins are forgiven, was the man who, not long after he spoke those words, would be at Jerusalem, be at Calvary, be hanging on the old rugged cross. And on the cross he died to deal with our sins. And because of his death, he was able to promise, pronounce forgiveness to that lady. And because of his death, God is able to offer forgiveness to us. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's lovely, isn't it? Said earlier, you know, what do we think about God? Some people say he doesn't exist, but God is there. Some people try to distance him, but God is here. And God is really interested in us. God doesn't really want to condemn us. Rather, he wants to cleanse us. God really doesn't want to punish us. Rather, he wants to pardon us. And wouldn't it be so nice for all of us, no matter what we've done in life, no matter the sins we've committed, no matter the regrets that we have, wouldn't it be so nice to hear God's own words, your sins are forgiven? Wouldn't it be so nice for our scarlet sins to be made as white as snow? And if we agree that that would be so nice, well, forgiveness and pardon and cleansing can be found in the Lord Jesus. And so we need to come to him, admit to him that we've done wrong, believe that when he died on the cross so long ago, he was in our place, dying our death, dealing with our sin, and we need to trust in him, believe in him, follow him, become a Christian. Listen to the verse again. Though, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And so in that verse, our awful condition, scarlet sins, terrible things, our awful condition, and yet that amazing invitation that God comes near and says, come now and let us reason together, and then that absolute transformation, they shall be as white as snow. On the 1st of January, just a couple of weeks ago, some of us heard in a church service in Kirkcaldy an amazing story. Story of a Christian lady living in a different part of the world who was brought before a court because she was a Christian. And she very boldly confessed her Christian faith to the judge and took the opportunity to explain the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel. And she explained that in the gospel, because the Lord Jesus died to deal with our sin on the cross, in the gospel there is for us the offer of forgiveness. And apparently the judge that she was addressing was overcome, was touched in his heart and overcome, and he said to her, we have no forgiveness, we have no offer of forgiveness in our religion. That's so very true, isn't it? Think about the religions of men. They can't offer forgiveness for sins, but Christianity, the Christian faith, the gospel, the message of the Bible, there is forgiveness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The judge was overcome and said, in our religion, we have no forgiveness. I was reading a story just as we close. I was reading a story yesterday in the paper about a man who was convicted of doing something years ago. And because of what he did years ago, it has forever affected his life. And he's never really been able to get a job. He has never been able to get a job because of what he did in his life. And that seems to be it, sadly. There is no reversing of time. There's no winding the clock back for him. No possibility that his slate can be wiped clean because of something he did in the past. No job for him. And you might say that's sad. Let me tell you something that's sadder. Because of things that we have done, heaven really is close to us. If we are sinners, God can't allow sin, a sinner, into heaven. But there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Heaven can be open to us because of the Bible, because of the message of the gospel, because of the story of the cross. And I quote it one last time, God says, he comes so very clear, comes so very near to all of us, and is so very clear, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That is the message of the gospel. That is the story of the cross. And we need to believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust in him. Believe that when he died on the cross so long ago, he was dealing with my sin, taking my place, dying my death. And if I believe in that, if I believe that, and if I trust him as my Saviour, my sins will be forgiven, and one day heaven will be my home.
Thanks very much, Fraser, for that. We're going to sing a last hymn together, which tells us of an occasion when the Lord Jesus said, come, and it's number 2 in the book, Beautiful Words of Jesus, spoken so long ago. Yet as we sing them over, dearer to us they grow, calling the heavy laden, calling to hearts oppressed, come unto me, ye weary, come, I will give you rest. Hear the call of his voice, so sweet. We'll just sing this hymn together, then Fraser will close in prayer.
Beautiful words of Jesus, spoken so long ago, yet as we sing them over,
says, come unto me, ye weary, come, I will give you rest. Hear the call of his voice, O sweet, bring your load to the Saviour's feet. Lean your heart on his loving breast. Beautiful words of Jesus, hearing us day by day, throwing a gleam of sunshine over a cloudy wave, casting on him the burden we have to wait to bear. He will give grace sufficient. He will regard the prayer. Hear the call of his voice, O sweet. Bring your load to the Saviour's feet. Lean your heart on his loving breast. Come, oh, come, and he will give you rest. Beautiful words of Jesus, tokens of endless rest. When by and by we enter into his presence blessed, there we shall see beauty, meet with him face to face. There shall we sing his glory, praising his matchless grace. Hear the call of his voice, so sweet. Bring your load to the Saviour. Lean your heart on his loving breast. Come, oh, come, and he will give you rest.
Just close with a short prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for the message of the Bible. We thank thee that thou art a God who would say to us, come. We thank thee that despite our sinfulness, thy love for us is so great. And we thank thee that in thy love thou did send thy Son, the Lord Jesus, all the way to Calvary's cross. We thank thee that he was willing to take our place, to lay down his life so that we might be forgiven. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. We thank thee for the message of the Bible. We thank thee that even today it's going out in so many different places in this world. We thank thee that all over the world there are individuals who are hearing and responding to the invitation, to the offer of forgiveness. And we pray that if we've never done so before, we might take that simple step of faith, of trust, of dependence in thee and in thy Son for forgiveness. We thank thee for the blessedness of knowing that our sins, which were many, are all forgiven through faith in thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So we thank thee for this time. We think of those who are patients in the hospital here. We just pray for thy best blessing upon them. We think of those who would look after them. We would think about family and friends who would visit them. And so we seek a best blessing from thyself upon us all. In the name of thy Son. Amen.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for coming today. It's nice to see everyone. And we hope that God will bless you today. Thank you very much indeed.